Welcome to another episode of the Pot of War podcast. This is episode 2. Clayton is joining me again, and we have a big contributor to the Northern Nerdcast channel. Please welcome and welcome back, Svenny McGee. How are you, man?
Hey, good, guys. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to chatting with some games with you guys today.
Yeah. It's gonna be good. Clayton and I were talking about ideas to come up with for this one, and we were going to talk about the game awards and everything, and it's done. Like, everyone's talked about it. Everyone talked about that kid that crashed the Elden Ring game of the year speech, and so I kind of want to just focus on, you know, getting predictions. 2022 has been a hell of a year for gamers. We've got some absolute banger titles that came out, and some studios notably absent, but we will we'll talk about our predictions. But Adam, what are you playing right now?
I'm just still wrapping up the campaign on Diablo 3 on Nintendo Switch. So I've been having a heck of a good time with that. And I absolutely love that I got the Amiibo Loot Goblin for that one, because you can drop it and he makes a rainbow portal into this loot dungeon. And you can just get so much like gems and so much cash out of there. And for me, I found it cuts down on the grind. And that's, you know, I an old guy now with kids and work and everything like that. I don't have the time to just grind it out like I used to 20 yeah. years ago in high school in Diablo 2 type of thing. So I found that kind of helped normalize the gameplay in that sense without, you know, I don't try to use it all the time. And you can only use it once a day anyway, once every like physical 24 hours. But I tried not to just, you know, overpower myself and make the game not fun. But then the thing is, you can ramp up the difficulty in the game a couple levels every time you log on anyway. So very close to concluding that. I did basically the main campaign already, and now I'm doing the expansion part of it. So I believe it's the fifth level. So just wrapping up that one. That should be done by before 2023. I'm looking forward to it.
Before Diablo 4 comes out.
Yeah, that too.
It's actually funny because Diablo 4, when Clayton and I were talking with Anthony Howell, he didn't confirm or deny that he had some kind of involvement in it. So I'd be that pretty cool to hear him voicing a character in that and possibly getting him back on the Nerdcast to talk about that if he's involved.
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
I heard that things have been going pretty rough for the Diablo 4. Like the Diablo 4's development. That's the one that's still coming out, eh?
Yeah. So today I saw something pop up that they were starting to do more live streams. So they're really pushing the characters now and what the maps look like and building that pre-release hype more and more, as opposed to just cinematic trailers. They're really starting to like, here's how we're gonna do our skill trees and things like that. So they're starting to do that. I'm sure there probably was a couple of hiccups there initially, and we'll see how it actually rolls out, because I think with 3, it started PC and then console ports came way later. And of course, Nintendo Switch came ages after that, but we'll see what they do with 4. I don't think it has a Nintendo Switch slate for it at all currently. I think it's going to be too demanding. But
we'll it's gonna be too intense for the hardware, you mean?
I think so. I think so.
I'm right now I'm installing the Witcher 3 again. I'm saying current gen, it's not next gen anymore. PS4 is previous gen. I don't care what anybody says. and Doug Cockle apparently has voiced new lines for the game, so there might be some new Easter eggs and stuff in it. And shameless plug, but Clayton and I had a very riveting time talking with Doug Cockle.
Yeah, it was a good time. But yeah, apparently the stuff that they added for the current gen consoles comes with the ray tracing and you know, updated textures, whatever. But then there's also content that they added based on the Witcher Netflix series.
Yeah.
So that's probably the stuff that he's talking about recording, because Geralt would need new lines and stuff for all that content. I don't know how much there is. I was going to go back to that too, actually, and just to check it out and see how different it looks.
Well, it can't be any worse than being on the Switch. I had the Switch version, and I pretty quickly brought it back to GameStop and traded it in.
So Switch and previous gen owners like PS4 and Xbox One are getting all of the story content, bug fixes, new weapons and costumes, blah blah blah, but they're not getting all of the technical graphical upgrades. You know what I mean? They aren't getting the ray tracing. They aren't getting all of the 4K 60 FPS or whatever it is that they're pushing it at. So they still get some. They still get something, but they just don't get the best of everything.
And then pretty soon they'll be left in the dust.
Yeah,
one day.
But one day. Have you been playing anything new lately, Clayton? Since the last one, or
Color Sort on my phone. Honestly, I started I took another run at Horizon Zero Dawn. Nothing major has developed from that. It's not grabbing me. It's not terrible. It's like spaghetti with, like, you know, you ever have spaghetti with sauce?
Okay, hold on. Is this gonna be like another Seth Rogen like jibe or something?
No. It's just like it's like spaghetti, you know what it is? It's like spaghetti with no sauce. It's like somebody invites you over to their house and they're like, oh yeah, no, yeah, come on over to my house. We're having spaghetti for supper. And you're like, oh yeah, right on. I love spaghetti. And then you go there and there's no sauce and it's just spaghetti. And
you know, it could be worse. It could just be butter and parsley.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, oh yeah, no, we just ketchup. Do butter and Parmesan. No, like you told me, I can't help but feel like you told me, you know,
see you later, Susan.
Spaghetti. Yeah. But you knew what you did.
I actually, it's funny because in my PlayStation wrap up, the game that I spent the most time on this year was Horizon Forbidden West. It says like 61 hours. And I'm actually going, I'm doing it again. Like I'm doing New Game Plus, carrying over all the weapons and stuff. I kind of was hoping that they would do that with God of War, but it's, will not happen, because they did do that with the original one in 2018. They did New Game Plus about 4 months after, so we'll see.
I easily clocked the most time this year on Elden
Clayton Ring. Why do you have a shirtless child behind you again?
Well, you know, that's what happens when you live in a house with family and you don't have your own study or video game.
why aren't you in your closet?
There's random acts of nudity all over the place. No,
all right.
Because my tiny game closet has all of my Christmas presents in it.
Oh, like yours, my hiding yourself?
Place. No, that's the ones I'm giving away. That's my hiding spot. So,
just before we get into the subject at hand, you guys are both privy to this. I'm not even, I don't really want to say anything until it's 100% confirmed, but I have a bucket list guest that I think the three of us should do all together.
Yeah, for sure.
And when everything's firmed up, I will make sure that all the proper props go to the person who made this happen. I didn't do this on my own. I'm not gonna lie. I don't like really stalking people. So I've been watching a playthrough that this YouTuber was doing, and I reached out to him. We've been chatting back and forth for a lot, and he had asked if we'd ever got this person on, and I said no, and he's like, well, would you like to? And I said, sure. He's like, all right, message him and then message me after Christmas and we'll get something going. But that's all I want to say about that until it's confirmed. I don't actually really want to say anything who it is until the video is actually done, and then just surprise drop and be like, boom.
Yeah.
No, it is. And it's a very cool story, like you said, and the way it's all come together, there's definitely some thank yous on board there, but it's one like anybody listening, you're going to want to see.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be cool. For sure.
But yeah, let's get right into it. As I said before, 2022 was an epic year for gaming and gamers in general. Right off the bat, I'm going to, my first prediction is, I bleed blue. I'm a Sony guy, but Sony's been doing a lot of questionable things lately, and I'm not shifting focus on a different system, but I really think 2023 is going to be Microsoft's year. There are some massive titles coming out, Starfield being one of them, Redfall, and there's a slurry of other games. Actually, one of the games that's not 2023, but I've been hearing lots of good things about, is High on Life. And it's by the guy that made Rick and Morty. It's a first person,
Justin Roiland,
kind of like a Conker's Bad Fur Day style game where you, like, aliens have taken over and you have a gun that's an alien that just wants to kill people. But yeah, I think that 2023 is going to be Xbox's year. Sony will have some really good titles, as they announced. Insomniac is dropping Spider-Man 2 in the third quarter of 2023. So that will be something as well. But yeah, that's what do you guys think on that? Do you think this will be Xbox's year?
I think that most of Xbox's major, like when I think about Microsoft being in the headlines, I think that most of it is going to be dealing with the whole fall off from the Blizzard acquisition. I at this point, I'm not sure. I don't think it's going to go through, because it sounds like a lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon and just litigating it into the ground. Like, it seems like Sony kind of, you know, they pushed the argument in one direction, and now a bunch of other people are kind of bandwagoning on it. And you can tell, because Microsoft is trying to placate Sony by offering newer and more tempting deals regarding the Call of Duty franchise. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I feel like that is, you know, they're tipping their hand, and they're kind of seeding ground without actually coming out and saying it. They really want the deal to go through, but I feel like it's just going to slowly collapse. But I mean, it's a $60 billion deal, right? So it's not like you're just going to hear about it on a ticker tape or a news program over one weekend. Like, this is going to take a long time before they finally either bow out or settle out with some other kind of deal, because they've invested a whole bunch of money just in, you know, getting this thing going. It's years in the making kind of thing, you know?
Well, I think like you said, like merging the two there, a lot of people were surprised, going back to the Game Awards, how Xbox basically showed nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of Nintendo, and there was a lot of Sony releases there.
Yeah.
There was, you know, and cross-platform stuff coming to the Xbox, but not really any single Xbox specific games there. And I think people were very surprised at that.
Well, now, they do lots of new announcements, eh? Like, they do have some stuff coming out in 2023, just they didn't really announce anything. No, but they certainly did not announce anything as cool as what the other two were showing off.
Yeah. No, for sure. And that's the thing. And they even showed, like, Phil Spencer there at the beginning. But,
yeah,
you know, he was just kind of hanging out.
He felt probably just as much out of place as Al Pacino did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Al Pacino, get him to come out at the beginning, and basically first things he says, like, yeah, I don't play video games.
I can't read the teleprompter.
Yeah, he's like, you may find this hard to believe, but I can't read the teleprompter. Yeah, okay. No, I totally believe you.
No, that's the thing. So, but then following through with the Activision thing, like, I think Microsoft is continuing to make the right plays there. Like, they're, you know what I mean? They signed a 10-year thing with Nintendo. Mm-hmm. And right now, none of the Call of Duty games come through to the Switch. But
the Switch can't handle it. That's the thing.
Like, I think they're gonna put on their best. They're gonna put on their best PR suit, and they're gonna try and upsell the benefits of the deal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or they're at least gonna try to, like, mitigate the negative aspects of it where like Sony says, oh, you could have a monopoly and this and that, and Call of Duty is a cultural brand and everybody deserves to play it and blah, blah, blah. Like, I think that Microsoft is going to, they're going to play nice, you know?
Yeah.
On the,
well, I mean, they bought more newspapers years ago.
Exactly.
And it's on everything, you know, and that's always my argument too. Like, they did nothing but good things for Minecraft. They put it everywhere. I mean, you could already basically get it everywhere, but they kept supporting it absolutely everywhere.
I think the problem is like that Jim Ryan and I think anybody could be a better CEO. Like, Jim Ryan just wants Sony fans to enjoy everything. But I you know what? Like, every system's going to be like that. Nintendo has their core fans. Xbox has theirs. I personally think that Jim Ryan does not want to see the Xbox logo in a Sony third-party game.
Yeah.
But the flip side to that is, if you load up MLB, the show, it says PlayStation Studios when you turn on your Xbox or you turn on your Switch. So, like, really, what's the big deal? Like, yeah, there's each system has their exclusives. Yeah. Like, so Sony is a story driven first single player stories, and that's what they're known for. Xbox is all about multiplayer. Online. Everybody has their own preferences. Nintendo to me is a role playing system. Like,
heavy emphasis on Japanese and first party exclusives, like Mario, Zelda.
Family friendly.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's I don't know. I just want to see this. Either it's gonna happen or the deal is gonna crash, like you said.
I don't think that it's just gonna straight up crash. I think that they're just gonna probably, you know, hand out a bunch of concessions to it to make it so that even though they own it, there's still like an insurance plan in place that says, oh, you know, certain titles that are deemed to be, I don't know how you would deem a title to be or a franchise to be too important, but that they're going to stay multi-platform.
Yeah.
Well, and you got to think too. It's like you said before, Sony started this whole thing with like, well, we don't want to lose Call of Duty, but and I know Bungie isn't going to be making games exclusively for Sony, but they bought a studio that makes a first party or a first person game. That made the original Halo and Halo 2 and I think Halo 3.
Yeah.
Or they stopped at Halo 3, right? Was that?
No, Reach was the last one they made.
But like, and then Destiny, like, they have an IP. Like, let Bungie make something and put it on all the systems, but like, you could be like, this is a PlayStation Studios game.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Nobody wants to play Destiny anyways.
Well, the thing is though, exactly, that Sony was also the last one to come on board with multi-platform gaming, and even Microsoft knows if they go and hinder putting Call of Duty on all platforms, besides making the sales, everybody wants a community where there's people playing. The worst part about buying a game is if you buy any of these entries a year later and then you go online and no one's playing it.
Yeah.
You know,
so the thing is though, is it like, it makes sense that Microsoft would want Call of Duty to be like a timed exclusive, but not necessarily just an exclusive, because they're going to end up like, if they have a smaller, because they probably, I think Microsoft has the smallest install base of the three big machines. Then they are losing out on the potential sales of those other consoles, but they need to balance it in such a way that that bringing out a Call of Duty on Xbox drives sales of the console, because the companies lose money producing and selling consoles, but they make it back up in software and licensing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they got to strike some kind of a balance, like, and that's where the timed exclusive comes in. Like, if I was Microsoft, I'd be like, okay, well, you know, we want our year over year growth of Xbox installed user base to go up by so much this year, and maybe by, you know, throttling a timed exclusive, well, then, you know, we can kind of do that. But at the same time, Call of Duty is almost a yearly thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it, the production cycles, because they have multiple studios working on them, is actually quite short. And you can't have a year long timed exclusive for a Call of Duty game, because by that time, the next one is gearing up to come out.
Yeah. And without getting just decimated in comments for making this statement, but like, they don't change that dramatically. They may have different physics and stuff based upon the weaponry of this timeline or that timeline, but like, plain and simple, you know, you're going to get a good quality experience, and the writing on all the games is always phenomenal. That's what you go for. If you like the first party, the first person playing storyline, but not just the multiplayer, like, you know, mm-hmm. the stories are always well designed and crafted and everything. So you get the new entry, a lot of people for that. But again, it's like playing Madden's or the NHL's or anything. Now you're going to get a new one every year. You know what to expect. You know it's going to be pretty much the same, maybe just a slight tweak here or there. And they can pump them out. And yeah, we'll play them because they're great.
Mm-hmm.
So Adam, I got to ask you, because I remember when we did this last year, you kind of made a joke about it and said, hey, we should re-record so that I can make a prediction about buying a studio. Do you think that there's going to be any more major announcements with studio purchases, or do you think that this Activision deal is kind of not necessarily hindered, but kind of made the big three, if you will, like second guess? I think
this is where it kind of hit the brakes on a lot of things. Like more recently, there was that Swedish studio, it escapes my now. They bought like Limited Run, the publisher. And but again, that's just a publishing, having a means to publish games and stuff like that. And you know, one or two other things. Sony, of course, with Bungie, and Nintendo scooped up a couple first party ones that were, or second party that were already, you know, like
basically first party,
not Pokemon Studio, not Labs, but like other ones within their arm's reach, you know, made it official when everybody else was, kind of thing. I think right now, yeah, like you said, I think this one is so big. Microsoft probably won't be pivoting to do any others right now. I'm sure Sony wants to see where this is going to go. And same thing, Nintendo has been, like, what they're doing with the Switch now has been markedly different than what they did with the Wii U, because they really ostracized a lot of companies with that. They kept it close to their chest. They said, we're going to be doing this now. They had you know, some like Ubisoft and some like that were on board initially, but EA, nobody came back to them. So this year, like now this time around, you see a lot more of their properties being held by like people that are not even Nintendo or second party, you know what I mean? And I think that's a good thing. They're getting more momentum in that way, but I don't know that they're really eyeballing any more acquisitions. So
well, I know
23, that's me. I don't know.
I know Jim Ryan had said, or it was either Jim Ryan or what's his name? Hellman Hurst or Hurst, or anyways, they had said something about that there were more acquisitions that were yet to be announced. And it's like, okay, well, we're already at the end of the year. Like, are you guys, like, now that you've stalled this purchase by Microsoft, like, are you worried for backlash? Like, are you going to announce it? Like, I mean, I think it's a pretty poorly kept secret, but I honestly think that's, I mean, Square Enix is basically a second party studio for Sony. But I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Sony comes out next year and says, welcome to the family, Square Enix. I mean, Square Enix hasn't really released anything of note. Like Adam, you sent me that article about Forspoken, and I hope to hell that the final product is not what I played, because I was highly disappointed with that. And I know it's just a demo, and they want people to try it out, but the battle mechanics were terrible. Like,
yeah,
just to briefly get into it, like, you run into, it's an action RPG. It's parkour, which was really cool. Like, you whip up walls and stuff, and but you go into a battle with five or six enemies that are strong, and you target them like you would in Crisis Core, or whatever. But if you want to fire your magic, you actually have to do the haptic trigger. So you have to push down hard every time because there's that resistance on the PS5 controller for certain games. And it was not enjoyable. I'm like, I feel like I'm getting a finger workout just pushing the trigger. Like, it kept giving me that give. And I was like, no, this isn't good. And for a fantasy game, like, I know that they swear a lot in Strangers of Paradise, but there is, like, I thought I was watching Deadwood again, like, with, like, every second word was the F word. Like, yeah. It's like, wow, this is really...
Oh, God, man, yeah. Well, yeah. You know what? I noticed that in God of War, too, actually, Ragnarok. I was like, man, they're dropping F-bombs all over the place here. Like, oh. But I don't know. It's hard to say, Brad, because Square may want to maintain their independence because they're about to have a really big year. Like, they're riding a massive high with the popularity of Final Fantasy 14, and I think Endwalker is the last expansion to come out for that. It's like basically pretty much the most popular MMO going right now.
Well, it's available win for best MMO, wasn't that?
Yeah. And then they're also releasing Final Fantasy 16. Like, they're going to have a big year, guaranteed.
They're releasing Final Fantasy 16 in the summer, and then they're releasing Final Fantasy Remake Part 2 in the winter time. So,
yeah.
No, and yeah, it's going to be because they got really weird there for a bit when they suddenly were kind of back treading on games and really pushing with this, or they sold off that other sub studio and then they doubled down. Okay,
so they sold off three.
So I was going to circle around to that because you guys didn't mention when you were talking about studio acquisitions, Embracer Group, because the Embracer Group deals, those are the guys who bought the three studios that Square sold off for $300 million, which was a pittance to pay for the friggin' developers of Hitman, Deus Ex, and
Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Crystal Dynamics was part of it, eh?
They scooped those studios up. And then now they've turned around and I think they've started actually dumping some stuff because some games didn't perform as they wanted them to. But I think that they're basically going to take what's valuable. They're going to strip out what's valuable, keep it, and they're going to dump the rest. So they are going to, they went through a period of massive expansion and I think they're actually still buying, but they're at the point where they're starting to also let stuff go. But Embracer Group is like running around while everybody's paying attention to the Microsoft Blizzard deal. Embracer is running around scooping these studios, like A-list studios, up like hotcakes, right? Mm-hmm. They're just making massive acquisition after acquisition after acquisition.
Well, and that's the part that I hesitate to applaud. Like, if it works for them, like, fantastic. But the part of the conversation that gets scary is when they start going through and buying all these companies, basically just to pilfer the IPs.
Yeah,
and blow up the companies underneath, then all the people employed go away, which sucks, of course.
Yeah,
and then they start just piling these IPs in the back, and then okay, what do we want to work on next? And then you have like 50 titles that you're like, oh my god, I can't wait till the next one comes out, but the one you want is number 49 on the list because they're so focused on, oh well, let's just turn out another, you know, repeat type game, another wash of Call of Duty or something like that, as opposed to another developed storyline in the Lara Croft franchise or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's such a huge, like, the number of studios that they purchased in the last, like, year or 2 years is staggering. Like, go look up the deal. I'm pretty sure that they're into the hundreds of studios now. Like, they've just been selling, like, spending massive amounts of cash, and like we said, like, they're buying up studios like IO and Crystal Dynamics.
And
then they can do with them what they please.
No, it is, and that's the thing. Like, even right now, like, look at what we're starting to see out of Konami, like that Ninja Turtles collection. I don't know if you guys that one up, but like it's a beauty. It's a beauty what they did there. And even just the fan service of going in and showing some of the codes and going back and showing some of the magazines of the time, things like that. They did the Castlevania collection. They did
that was awesome.
Collection, you know, but those people have been asking for those for about 10 years now. you know, and they, and finally we're starting to get it, but Konami sat on that stuff forever. And like everyone was saying, they're like, no, just more pachinko machines. Like, you know, and
yeah,
everybody was just sitting there like, whoa, like let someone else do it then, you know,
Metal Gear survive.
Yeah, exactly. But we're starting to at least see some companies put some of that loving care back into these things. And that's, you know, I don't have any problems with the acquisitions. Like Microsoft, when they did over, I think it was over this year. I don't think it was 2021. I think it was over this year. They did those YouTube videos and there's like six, like 1 hour installments talking about creating like Microsoft and then creating the Xbox, creating the 360, creating the Xbox One, where they are today. And acknowledge it, like one whole episode based on the Red Ring of Death, like acknowledging all the faults and how they've overcome to get to where they are. Along the way, they talk about how they had Fable and they bought the company and were working, did Fable 2 and everything, but basically did that, kept the IP, and then underneath it all, just blew up that company.
Okay, well, you know what? I have something personal to say about that.
You know, like
the development of Fable was absolute BS. And it started out as a game, as a project called Project Ego. And what was originally promised was much, much more ambitious than what we actually got. And while I liked and I loved and played all three Fable games, what they were talking about at the, like when they were originally developing it was way more than what we got. Like it was, it took them 4 years to develop a 25 hour long third person RPG light game. Like it was nonsense. They just kept on having to hack stuff out of it and hack stuff out of it, change the art direction and do this and do that. And eventually it became nothing. It became nothing compared to what it originally was. So if Microsoft saw fit to take that IP away from Lionhead and Peter Molyneux and be like, look, you just kind of dropped the ball last time, I am entirely okay with that, because what they originally promised was a game where every choice that you made mattered. Yeah. And it's funny because I actually was so rabidly waiting for Fable that I was looking for games that I thought would be like Fable. And that's how I discovered Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. And that's how I discovered The Elder Scrolls Morrowind.
Yeah.
I hadn't played them before that. So I was like, this is what I want. I want choice-based gameplay. And they were getting ready to hit it right on the head. And then after they dropped the ball and Fable turned into what it was, Mass Effect came along and basically did exactly that, but in just, you know, like a choose-your-own-adventure style choice-based gameplay, whereas the original Fable was supposed to be like, oh, okay, if you chop down this tree, it'll take 50 years for it to grow back. If your guy gets cut with a sword, he gets a scar. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of stuff they were talking about. And then it just turned into, even the boasting system, actually, that they had in Fable 1, which I thought was just amazing. It was so organic and awesome, where when you went out on a mission, you could jump up on the tree stump and brag about how you were going to, you know, do this or that. And it was going to, you were going to do it without being hit or whatever. And the rewards for the mission were better based on, you know, if you could fulfill your boasting. They got rid of that too. Like that was like one of the most original things about that game. And they dumped that whole feature. And I was like, man, you guys systematically stripped out all of the stuff that was going to make it something really unique.
Well, and that's what I mean. I think even Microsoft has kind of come to admit that though. Now, I'm sure what Lionhead probably promised the world and probably couldn't because of the limitations. I mean, that was an early 2000s game, but you know,
four years, man.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's a long development time for an early aught like 2000s game
for back like, then for sure. Yeah. But that's what I mean. Even then, every entry they've done since, they've had to do without them, and now you have, you know what I mean. You don't want to reappropriate people working on a first person shooter to now be working on your Fable series and stuff. Like you want a team dedicated to that, and I think that's more the idea they've had in mind. And I think that's why they're looking at these acquisitions, you know.
Sorry to cut you off. I'm pretty sure that the team that did Forza Horizon is the same team that's doing the Fable right now, which seems weird to me. Somebody have to fact check that for me, but I'm sure that's the Forza team, and that's weird. Like,
people and good physics they can do and stuff like that, but it is a weird mashup.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Playground Games is the Fable.
And I'm actually just circling back to what you were saying before. Embracer was the one that bought limited run games.
The Swedish that bought limited run. Okay.
They're the ones that own limited run showing as of 2022 this year.
Yeah.
So that's exactly like you said, Embracer's been on a rampage.
Yeah.
Going around and just buying up everything. And even,
but nobody's paying attention because everybody's looking at the big Microsoft Sony battle in the sky there.
Yeah. Actually watch that. Watch Embracer buy up everything else underneath. And then when the Activision thing doesn't go through, Microsoft buys Embracer.
Yeah, exactly.
The other end of the spectrum is you got to also think about what's Tencent doing, because Tencent's been buying stuff too.
Yeah,
Tencent bought Warframe, I think it was last year.
Yeah,
they're a big like they player. Bought what is it? Not Silicon Knights, but that's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Digital Devolver.
I played the game for years, and I can't remember the name. Yeah, Fable 4 is in development, one of the most anticipated upcoming games, blah blah blah. Playground Games, the studio behind the excellent Forza Horizon series. I just fact checked myself.
I read that earlier, but you weren't listening.
Oh well, I very often don't. If you ask my fiance, she'll tell you the same thing.
So, Adam or Clayton, feel free to chime in with this. What predictions are you seeing or do you think will happen in this year?
What's going to happen this year? Surprises?
Well, any announcements that you think that you've heard of in passing or whatever, and being like, oh yeah, that. Like I know, for example, I don't know if this is just Microsoft being upset with the whole Sony thing, but they allegedly leaked that Wolverine was releasing next year too, which I can't see happening because Insomniac Games is working hard on Spider-Man. The only thing I could personally see is maybe Wolverine makes a cameo in Spider-Man 2, and then that's going to set up his game.
It'd be wise. You'd want to, why not? If they have the licensing to do the game, why not world build? You know, clearly the MCU is a good predictor of how that works, right? We'd like to see our heroes cross paths and not Batman's here and Superman's there and, you know, whatever. So I think that would be a wise thing to do, is to show Logan at the end of the game and then, like you say, push it into the next one. I'm going to go ahead and say Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom wins Game of the Year.
I can get behind that.
I think it's just going to, it'll be too big. It'll be too big. Too many people are going to anticipate the game. Breath of the Wild was a huge smash hit. This is a direct sequel to that. And Legend of Zelda franchise doesn't necessarily always do that. Of course, you had, you know, Ocarina and Majora.
Link Between Worlds. Actually, more and more the Link games are sequels to other Link games.
Yes, more and more. Yeah, you're right, they are, but you don't usually see them always back to back. You may see like an entry here, an entry there or something, but this one is going to be a direct to that. And in fact, even the Hyrule Warriors one was a prequel to it, so this is actually going to be a third entry in that series now. And I, from what they've been showing here, some of the gameplay and stuff like that, I think more and more you'll see this come to the front, and it'll definitely be in the top runnings. I'm going to go ahead and call it.
I'm just because of all the hype that's behind it, but I'm going to say Starfield.
I don't know.
Made the face.
I don't know about Starfield. I have my reservations. I feel like there are other games that are doing what Starfield has done. They're doing it better. Like, unless they're going to push it as Star Citizen on consoles kind of deal, you know, because they've already come out and said that there are transitional loading screens between planet takeoff and landing. There's no seamless flying through space, finding a planet, going and landing on it. You're going to approach the planet, then there's going to be a loading screen of some kind, and then you're going to magically appear on the ground. Oh, yeah. And that's like, That's a big no-no, man. And what that tells me is that, just like with their other previous titles, Bethesda is not flexing the technology. They're not banking on the technology, and they're going to deliver us Skyrim in space. You know what I mean? Like, if all of the combat and everything is like, it's gotta be more than what I'm afraid that they're gonna deliver. That's all. Like, they're gonna have flying in space, and then they're gonna have ground-based combat. And I just am looking for something more than I feel like they're gonna deliver.
I think the issue there too is some of these games, and I'm not gonna, you know, throw a stink on Bethesda or anything specific, but if it manages to come out buggy, then you know, game over. You know what I mean?
It's going to, though, because that's Bethesda. It's going to.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, I don't want to say it. That's why I'd feel confident with Nintendo, is because like they very firmly try to make the polish on there. And you know, it doesn't mean that there aren't games, Nintendo games. We can nitpick every studio, but you know what I mean? Like Cyberpunk, like so long for everybody to talk about that game, the hype mm-hmm. behind it, just insane. And then they really got kind of forced to put it out there, and they knew they didn't want to do it that quick, and to the point that it got pulled off the PS4 store. Like, it was, you can't do that anymore. Like, it's and that's why I'm worried about a game of that scope, that size. You know, Nintendo manages to do big games, but still kind of in a smaller way. I don't know.
Well, did you play Outer Worlds?
Yes, I actually really enjoyed Outer Worlds.
Okay, so imagine like what I'm envisioning is Outer Worlds, but you can go to the spaceport and you can click A to enter space shuttle. And then after a short loading screen, you're in space and you can fly around. That's basically what I'm picturing. And I mean, I hope that I'm wrong, but
if you think about it, we got that in Cyberpunk too, because when they showed it originally, it was going to be, you could take the tram around the entire city. And then now the game comes out, you push A and then, oh, I'm at my apartment. I didn't even do anything. Like, you could, they wanted to emphasize driving and walking around the city, but that option was originally there that you could ride the subway and stuff.
Yeah, and I think even like similarly in both initial hiccups and in theme was No Man's Sky. And again, what they've done now, everyone can argue and say, of course, it's a great game, a million patches, so much support from the developers. So, I mean, huge props to them, but not really the game that they promised at launch either. And
no, see, now that's funny because I remember when No Man's Sky came out, because I was super, super hyped for it. And the thing that I realized fairly early on is that Hello Games was a very, very small studio.
Yeah.
But the potential for the game was big. So Sony actually put big marketing dollars behind it and forced it onto a stage, you know, forced it front and center of every stage of every show that they did leading up to its release. And then when the game didn't perform, they basically hung them out to dry.
Yeah.
But Hello Games is a very, like, No Man's Sky was like an indie title. It was like an indie level title. It was a very, very small game with a very small team of dedicated people. And it was unfairly lambasted and like, I feel like unfair expectations were put on it, not only by the gaming public, but also by Sony itself. They're like, this is going to be a massive game. And they're like, yeah, but look, like we want to do all these things, but we're just a little studio. Oh yeah, but the game's going to be massive. Just you know, you can do it. You can do it.
Tell them what you want to do. And then they'll like, no, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying anything negative about No Man's Sky. I'm just saying that would be, if Starfield's release this year comes out the way No Man's Sky was, that will disable it from being game of the year.
Yeah. Or Fallout 76.
Yeah.
Okay, we've picked our, like, I'm sure when Spider-Man comes out, I'll my game of the year will switch to Spider-Man depending on mechanics and how it plays out. But
it's gonna be
what's your prediction for game of the year, Clayton?
Well, first I'll tell you what my big announcement prediction is.
Okay,
because you guys got yours. Mine is that Nintendo announces a new hardware platform. Yeah. I think this has got to be the year.
The Switch has been out for 8 years now?
Yeah.
I think this will make 6 years in
I'm gonna check right now while you're talking. Yeah.
Their hardware is aging. And I mean, it's not aging poorly or anything, but it's at the point now where it can't keep up with
5 years.
Anything.
Yeah, like we're five, this March will make six. Yeah. Yeah.
It can't keep up with anything that the other competitors are doing, and it can't solely rely just on first party titles like forever. You know what I mean? I feel like this is the year. Even if it's closer to the end of the year, E3 comes out there, the Game Awards next year, there will already be rumblings about new hardware, because I think it's time.
Well, they never announced anything, but, and I don't know where this rumor came from, but there was talks of a Nintendo Switch Pro it just became the OLED. There was no hardware update or anything.
No,
well, if, I know. If you want my conspiracy theory on this is Nintendo is not against upgrading the hardware. I think they've just literally looked at the chip shortages, the issues of getting a Series X or a PS5 in a storefront, and said, why? Why would we want to get in on that? We can still make and produce the current console and get it in store shelves. So why bother getting into that mess? You want a better screen? Fine, we'll give you a better screen.
I know.
Handheld only? We'll give you handheld only. And so I think that's why they've done that route. I think they would have, if there wasn't a current chip shortage going on, post-pandemic, all this other stuff that's been going on there, I'm sure we would have a Pro in our hands right now. That's my two cents.
They weren't going to launch an upgraded system at a time when most people were out of jobs because of the pandemic. Like, they would just be dumb.
And that's what I mean. I think right now, I know people trying to buy a car and they're still years behind because they can't even get it, or the chip shortages, all that stuff. So the more you want to upgrade something, the harder it is to do. And right now they're using an outdated set of specs, but they can get it on the store floor. So
yeah,
I think that's why, but I think you might be right. We might be turning the corner on that. And maybe now is the time that they make the announcement and get it.
And remember, like, we have an entire year.
Yes.
Like, our predictions are good for an entire year. So I feel like coming to the end of 2023, we will be just starting to hear something, or we'll have heard something by this time next year.
Yes.
Obviously, agree. This time next year being 2 weeks away from the end of the year. So
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think 2 weeks from now, January, they're going to make the announcement, but I could see that by the end of the year that they're hyping it up. And God bless them. They don't call it the new Nintendo Switch or something like that.
They just add a little button.
The Nintendo Switch U, like they need a better naming convention. However, I think 100% it will have backwards compatibility with the current Nintendo Switch. I think that would be.
I would hope so. Yeah.
They need to upgrade more for their online presence. That's something that's been lacking. So I can see, if I'm going to go off an extension of what Clayton's saying, I'll say, I think we're going to start to see more additions to the Nintendo Switch Online. I'm going to say Game Boy and Game Boy Color games, Game Boy Advance. I think we'll start to see some of those titles launching.
So hear me out with this, okay? The new Nintendo Switch XL.
Yeah.
There you go. You heard it here. Man. Man.
Do you think that, like, I know VR has always been around, but do you think that it'll actually take a hold? Like, I see VR, it's not really a fad like a lot of people thought it was going to be, but I don't think it really grasped, like, people were hoping as well. I don't know, like, I myself, like, I have, well, see, I have the Facebook Quest, because I got it before they changed the name to Meta. So when you log in, it still says Facebook. It's sat on my shelf for 6 months. But like, you have you have Sony that announces the PSVR 2, which costs more than the PlayStation 5 that you can't get. But the only real game, well, Resident Evil 8 was just announced as a launch title for the VR. But if you think about it, the only other big name game that's coming out is Call of the Mountain, which is Horizon. So basically, you're going to be paying $800 for Horizon, but you get a VR system included.
Now, does the old slate of PSVR games work on the new headset?
No.
Oh, that sucks, because they had some real good ones, and it's too bad that they didn't see their way through to actually including them on the new headset, because, man, I played some real killer games.
Oh, like you say, that's already a big crippler, because now you have to start with a brand new library, you know?
God damn. Did you guys play Farpoint?
Yeah, and
Farpoint was awesome.
Did you use the aim?
Oh yeah.
Gun? Oh my gosh, what an experience that was. Yeah. Yeah, that's something else.
The first time I had those little crawlers come over like the side of a cliff, and I was holding the gun with two hands, and then in order to like swing the gun around, I let go with one hand and just held it up like a pistol and fired. And in the game, my character let go of the stock of the gun and held it the same way I was. I was like, this is fucking awesome. Like,
that is insane for sure.
And the rocket launcher and everything. And did you get to the point where you fought the giant arachnid thing there?
I did some of the ones, yeah, where you go into the other quests and fought some of the big guys, and they missile out the ones at you and stuff.
Yeah, it was amazing. And that's something that you could only do in VR. I've never experienced something like that. And also, it's old now, but Eve Valkyrie, the fighter jet one with the head tracking lock on, was amazing. Every time you're in your ship and you come out of the launch tube, I felt like I was there. I felt like my feet just came out from under me. And then Star Wars Squadrons 2 was amazing in VR. Like, if you ever wanted to see what it was, you got to try it, because if you've ever imagine what it was like to fly an X-Wing fighter, or like in an all glass canopy, or sit in a TIE fighter, which is basically like flying a trash can. I mean, you feel like you're like inside of the thing. It's amazing. It's absolutely an unmatchable experience. Well, and you can only get that with VR.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You can still, like, we know you can still use the current PSVR on your PS5 system, mm-hmm. but you'd still have to keep that headset and everything if you want to play it on your PS5.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be crippling, because it would have been nice for them to put some up support and put in a better texture resolution pack. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If they can't always do all of them with the new eye tracking, everything that they're doing with this new system. Yeah, clearly that would have been nice just to even have some of the games with a better coat of paint on them. Because I know some of the ones, like Need for Speed Sport, I think it was. Forgive me. Anyways, that one came off well. I thought the racing on that was fun.
Drive Club was cool too.
Drive Club was definitely fun. But when I played the demo, I felt it was a lot. Some of the textures going by was a lot grainier.
Yeah.
Again, felt great. The racing was good. But I felt that's something, like I said, a specific example where I feel they could repolish it, better textures and stuff like that. So
Resident Evil 7 they also did on PSVR, yes. Which was I couldn't play it. Well, I could, but I couldn't do like entire game sessions of it, because I just end up getting motion sickness or whatever. But it was incredible to go through the mansion and see all the sights in VR in full. Yeah. You know, look, I remember there was one like right at the beginning when you walk into the house, when you first get into the house and you're checking everything out in the kitchen, and you can like open the lid on the pot and you look inside and there's all this like goop hanging off the lid and everything. And then you go over and you open up the fridge and it's the same thing. There's a long like booger stringer hanging from the fridge door, and you can move around underneath it and look up at it. And it just, you know, like you just can't get that anywhere else. So
yeah, no, I'm excited to see what they're going to do with the new VR and what mm-hmm. they're saying right now. Like, I don't think anybody's too negative on the PSVR 2. I think
nobody who's played it.
But I think even going into it, I think everybody's excited for what they're promoting, because hardware wise, it's supposed to really push it even more than Oculus and stuff current. But everybody's still kind of dragging it because it's still going to be wired. It's still going to be tethered.
It's freaking it's expensive too. Like that's probably the second, like tethering is like the single biggest hurdle for any VR headset is going to be the cost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? Like because if it's more attractively priced, even people who might not consider getting a VR, or they think it's gimmicky or whatever, will still be more inclined to try it because the price point is lower. You don't have to buy in. Like the buy-in isn't so high to see what all the fuss is about.
Well, I don't know what the attach rate of a VR to a PS4 is, but I don't.
It's got to be low. Like it's got
to answer Brad's initial thing. This might be kind of the last year or two of VR before maybe, you know, like the metaverse never took off the way they wanted to. I mean, look at he laid off 11,000 people from.
Yeah, you know, VR is one of those technologies though that kind of it. You think that nobody's working on it, but there's always somebody working on it. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like back in the early 90s, they were working on VR technology, and the headsets were much larger, and the lag rate was greater and stuff, but the technology was there. And then it got a little bit of attention, and then it kind of went back underground. And then what's his name from Facebook, or what's his name from Oculus? Started making the Oculus Rift.
Yeah.
Right. And then all of a sudden Facebook wanted to buy it. I can't remember what his name, Lucky Palmer.
That sounds right.
Yeah. So, you know, he had been working on that headset in the background for a couple of years before Facebook even got a hold of it. Then Facebook has it, you know, and then they come out with the Quest and the Vive and all of this and that, and VR makes a huge splash, and then maybe now it's time it goes back underground again, and people keep on working on it, and then they present it again in another 5-10 years with, you know, the new bells and whistles, and it's just I feel like VR is kind of always the end goal of video games. It's the ultimate immersive tool, but it needs a lot of gestation.
Yeah, I think, yeah, like you said, there, when we start to get some of those other things, someone's making some form of a haptic feedback vest and stuff like that. But I mean, you know, it's really, like you said, until you get to the spot of like Ready Player One, where you're going to be fully immersed.
Yeah,
we're getting better, but we're still not there. And if the titles don't come with it this year, then I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. Predictions for games for the end of the year, though, because that's originally what we were circling back around to.
Of anything?
Metroid Prime 4.
It's still in development hell.
Yeah, they're saying it's somewhere on there. And I mean, we still haven't, even from Nintendo, had the Advance Wars game. It was ready to go, but they said with the current climate, they held off. So I don't know that they've given it an exact release date yet, but it's something I've kind of got an eye on, because I know that it's kind of that tactics turn-based, and I do like those types of games. So yeah. It's one that I'm looking and being interested in.
I'm not sure what to say for game of the year going into the end of next year. I don't think that something released late into the year like Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2 is going to be able to clinch it. I think console-wise, maybe Final Fantasy 16, but I doubt it. I think it's probably going to be something that maybe we haven't seen before.
I'm sure.
You know 16, what I mean? Maybe
16 will make the short list, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure.
If it doesn't win.
I'm just going to say, as we get closer to the... I first of all, I have reservations about 16, not because I don't think it's going to do well, but I was also really, really amped for 15, and then I played it, and it's just...
15 was just a mess. It was just like, it was in development hell for so long, and it started off as one game and turned into another game, and I don't think Square knew what they were fucking doing with it, honestly.
But, what I was going to say is, as we get closer to the launch date and everything and more of the story gets talked about, one of our previous guests is actually acquaintances with a lot of them. So see if I can get her to open up the communications to have some of the cast come on and do the YouTube channel, but to talk with them about Final Fantasy. Cause I think all of us have pretty much grown up with Final Fantasy. So just to have be able to chat with some of the voice actors about their experience with it, I think would be pretty cool. That's my prediction, is we'll have Final Fantasy on in 2023.
There we go. That's a good one.
I can complain a lot about a lot of the Final Fantasy games, especially everything after 10. But to be honest, like I won't go so far as to say that it comes from a place of love. But honestly, when you have a franchise that's as old as Final Fantasy that has a certain amount of pedigree with it, I feel like they need to make sure that they uphold certain standards. And there are places and times where it feels like the games are falling behind, whereas they used to be really advanced and really, you know, groundbreaking and always trying something new. It feels like they've gone down one particular type of rabbit hole, and now that's kind of where they're staying. Like the pseudo action game where swords, you know, people bleed numbers kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of blood. And their systems don't always jive, and now the stories have kind of taken a backseat, because I mean, let's face it, like the story for 15 was just a complete train wreck.
It was like Stand By Me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much so that the theme song was in it.
Why am I playing a Final Fantasy game where the best looking thing in the game is the food that Ignis cooks up? I mean, this stuff looked real and it looked tasty. And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm playing a Final Fantasy game. Just don't pay attention to any of the Coleman tents or seats at the campsite. You know what I mean? Like, they literally had Coleman branded stuff there. And then there was what's his name's fascination with Cup Noodle. There was like product placement all the way through the game. It was weird. It was like playing a really weirdly drawn out commercial, you know? And then the story itself, the pacing was all over the place. And I was like, oh, wait, there. Okay, we're going to meet Luna Freyna. Oh, and now she's dead. You know what I mean? And then there was chapter 13. And then the whole thing about Arden that kind of just pops up at the end. I mean, they allude to it throughout the game, but then right at the end, it's like, okay, now I have this fucking super crazy battle in the streets with this dude. And then now you're dead. Are you dead? Oh, wait a minute. It's 10 years later. What's happening? You know? I don't know. It was just a mishmash of a whole bunch of different weird stuff. But you know what? You know what, though? I platinumed it. I did all the hunts. I did everything there was to in that game. So I think that I have the right to criticize it a little bit, because I spent a long time with it. I got the world record for the biggest fish in the game. You know what I mean? Like, I did everything there was to do.
So I think what we'll do is we'll do two more things and then we'll call it. What do you think is going to be like the biggest misfire or stinker? Like, because we've talked about like our personal, like what we like are thinking for Game of the Year and everything, but what, like for 2023, what is your prediction? It's going to be like a massive flop, like Cyberpunk style flop.
Oh man. I don't know. I'll think about it. Svenny, you take this one first.
I don't want to commit to something so much with these titles to say flop, but
no, just in general.
Two titles that are really stepping outside of their comfort zone that I saw was that Bayonetta Origins.
Oh yeah. What is that?
And then there's also that Minecraft Legends, if you guys have seen any of the trailer for that. And it's, again, it's basically putting like almost like another type of an RPG. They did the Minecraft Dungeons, which was
phenomenal.
Yeah. A dungeon crawling Diablo style game. But this Minecraft Legends is really going to be almost more of like an RPG, again, set in the Minecraft world with their, you know, characters and mobs and everything else. So again, something radically different coming from both of those franchises. And I don't know, I have confidence. I'd say I have confidence in both of them to pull it off, but yeah, definitely going to be something different.
I think coming back to where I originally jumped on, I think we were talking, you guys were talking about Diablo 4. Yeah, I think that Diablo 4 is going to fall short of the mark.
Think so?
I agree, but I think
honestly think
the
so.
Reason that I think that is, look what happened with Diablo Immortal.
I think, yeah, I think it's got, it has less to do with the fact that the game is going to be poor because people don't live, the people who are working on it are incompetent or don't want it to be good. I feel like with the way that the direction is changing and that the they're losing key members of the staff. And from what I've heard, the way that the story is being chopped up and you know, the new drafts and new story writes are coming out, it sounds like they're losing direction for the game. And I have a feeling that all the pieces are going to be there, but that it's not going to come together in, like, you know, a magical Diablo type way. And I have a feeling that it'll be, I just think it's going to fall short. If you think it's going to be like an 8 or a 9, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a 6 or a 5.
You know what? I'm going to agree. And I'm going to say also with the aspect, like with 2, they knew they did a good thing there. Everybody loved it. Well-renowned. Mm-hmm. So they didn't touch it. They didn't touch it for almost like 20 years. Mm-hmm. And then they delivered 3 and it came out and, you know, lots of hype. Everybody's there. But now within 3, and mind you, keep in mind 3's fresh to me because I'm really doing its first playthrough now on the Switch. But, mm-hmm. you know, even if that came out, what, 2016, 2015, we're going to get 4 in hardly less than half of the distance between 2 and 3. And we got a mobile game in between. So now it's like, oh yeah, I forgot. We could make money off this franchise. So let's make money off the franchise. And that is what concerns me. Like to your point that they could be missing the mark, like where they just, you know, it's like where you start to get the Pixar stuff. Like, hey, we have a good thing here. So let's not go back. Okay. We'll make maybe 1 sequel here. Maybe we'll make 2. And then you start to bleed it down to all of a sudden where, like, you have Toy Story 3, a perfect trilogy, Toy Story 4. Maybe we should have stuck with 3, you know?
Yeah.
Things like that. Yeah. And that's where I'm wondering if that, what we're going to do here with Diablo. So maybe you're right. Maybe that's the one to.
Well, it feels like lately, especially over the last couple of years, like with how much more money is in the gaming industry than there was, like, even say 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's all art by committee now, right? So we're getting like, people are like, there's this culture of crunch, and the crunch used to come from smaller companies and dedicated people who wanted to make these games. And now crunch is like, well, it's been in the news a lot over the past year, 2 years, but it's almost like it's an expected, it's expected of you, not because you're passionate, because that's the requirement of the job, and they will drive you into the ground to make it happen. You know what I mean? Yes. And if somebody says, oh, okay, well, this is a topic we don't want to touch, okay, we'll take it away. We'll make the game safe, because they want to put it into as many hands as possible. And everything just kind of turns out like baby food, where it's, you know, non-specific color, a non-specific texture, sort of just bland and a little less adventurous. Yeah. And I feel like now we're getting to the point where we're going into 2023, and a major topic of all popular art actually is AI art versus human art, which there are already game studios that are admitting that they are shrinking their graphic arts departments and their creative staff because AI can do the work faster, right? So now you're
even, you know, voice, I mean? Acting, like, too. Voice acting, like, is thrown in that mix now.
And it's just turning into this, you know, moderate gray paste that's not particularly enjoyable, but it's not off-putting. You're just not going to hit the manic highs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know what I'm trying to say. I'm not getting it out. I got.
I know what you're saying.
There's too many angles to come at it.
No, really. And I think again that to me is almost the concern again with, not necessarily with Microsoft, but again, too many acquisitions, too many titles, and then while we bought these 50 titles, we need to make money on these 50 titles. Yeah. You have that small team of six guys working on a group of indie. And, you know, they're putting in their 16-hour days every day to try and get this game out so they can, you know, eat. And then you have over here, it's like, okay, well, I own this company of 300 or 3,000 employees. And, you know, from the bottom up, I need 16 hours out of all these guys. And the guys, like, yeah. Oh, wait a second, you're paying me peanuts and you're the one that's going to get all this skim. Like, which again, bring it back to the conversation of unions and everything else within.
Sorry, just to not to cut you off. Is Diablo 4 expected to release this year?
I thought it was.
Yeah, I believe
okay.
so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we're gonna do something in a second, but yeah. Anyways, we'll talk about that in a second. So my thing, I think it's not necessarily a flop, but I think. And Clayton, I don't know if Adam, if you played this, but Clayton, we've talked in length about this. I think that Square Enix has changed so much in the Final Fantasy VII remake and everything that I don't think Rebirth's going to hit the mark that they're hoping for, because we've got this trailer, like, spoiler alert for anybody. Adam, have you played it? Are you going to play it?
I'm sorry, which was this again?
Final Fantasy VII remake.
No, but go ahead.
Okay. So without really spoiling anything, and Clayton, if I'm off base, because you know more about the lore, but they basically have opened a metaverse in Final Fantasy VII where, like, certain characters that die, you're basically being given the option if you can save them. And I know Clayton's not a fan of that. It's anyways, I think
God Rebirth, damn it, Aerith is dead. Just let it go.
Well, but so is Zach. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, I shouldn't say we're not doing spoiler because we just kind of spoiled the original Final Fantasy VII. But I think that Rebirth's gonna go too much into, we heard your sadness from the first game. Now you have the chance, and then they're gonna be like, haha, we lied, they're actually dead, and there's nothing you can do about it.
It's not that. It's that it. So, like, I agree with you. I don't think that it's going to be as good as what the first one was. But the first one starts off from the same origin point as the original Final Fantasy VII game. And then throughout the game, they start to throw in these curveballs where they're kind of going to take it in a different direction. So the first game has the benefit of starting to tell a new story, but starting off from the same launch point so that you get all of those same story beats that people remember from the original. They remember climbing the wall into Midgar. They remember the plate falling. They remember the slums. They remember Don Corneo. They remember the train scene. Like, they remember all of that really iconic stuff. And then now the new one is like, oh, but look, it's a multiverse or it's a metaverse or whatever it is. And now they're going to take that original story and they're going to move it into new territory. And now they don't have the benefit of nostalgia. And people are like, I don't want this. I wanted a remake of the game. I don't want whatever the hell this is, you know? And I will piggyback on your prediction.
You're going to play it though. And I'm going to play it.
I am still going to play it, but I'll be honest with you. Like, I will play every Final Fantasy game. And if it can be considered like a mainline Final Fantasy game, if it's a reimagining or a remastering of the original, because I don't even know how many times I played seven. You know what I mean? I played the, like, where you play it on phones and they up-res the graphics and all. It's basically kind of the same idea. But I feel like I said, it's not going to have the benefit of nostalgia for a lot of people, and a lot of people have moved on. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't super crazy about the battle system.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I absolutely hated having my materia levels throttled for the purposes of story. It felt like just when the game was done 50 hours in or whatever, I was like, okay, now I'm like where I would have been, you know, 10 hours into the original. Yeah. I didn't feel powerful at all. I felt like, okay, I can just not die now.
But Adam, you do have a PS4, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It is like Integrate is not available. It was a PS5 only thing, but the remake is on the PlayStation. As long as you have the streaming service, it's free right now.
Oh, cool.
Well, free. You still have to pay the streaming service. I wouldn't not play it. Like if you played the original, I would say play it just because, like, Clayton, I don't care what you say. You smiled like a little girl when Cloud flipped off the train because it's like, oh my god, these graphics are incredible compared to what it was polygons
that's,
and stuff.
That's what I'm saying though. Like the original one had all of those really iconic moments. They had all of the things that we remember from the original, and that is what that game banked on. It banked on people's like memories through rose-colored glasses, realizing those old scenes, those old iconic scenes in today's graphics, like with new, you know, with modern graphics. And that was the treat of the first game. But now going into the second game, because I did like the first one, it was a lot of fun to go back and see all those areas and go through those story beats again. But now the new one doesn't have that nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I want more of that. I want more of the original story.
I wanted a Final Fantasy VII that was basically just a ground up, same graphical thing, same story, but just uphauled the graphics. That's all I wanted.
Somebody just please take the assets from Final Fantasy VII Remake and then skin them onto Final Fantasy VII and just let me play that.
Yeah.
That's what I really want.
Okay, so the last thing I want to do is, I saw this on another channel just for fun. I know that we all absolutely love Metacritic and we love seeing the games we enjoy playing getting review bombed to shit. Yeah. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have 8 games here. I want everybody's scores. Okay. So the first one is Redfall. Adam, what are you score? What do you think the end Metacritic review will be on that?
I'm not familiar with Redfall. I'd have to
Redfall is a first-person vampire hunter game. It's allegedly it's set in the same world. And sorry, I don't know if you know this, Adam, but Deathloop was confirmed to be part of the Dishonored world.
Oh yes, I did.
So this is by the same people. So I have a feeling they're going to tie this in. Basically, it's a first-person vampire hunting game.
Does it play similar to like Back for Blood or
the yes, other yes. Type?
Okay, I'm gonna let's throw an 8 on it.
Like 80?
Yeah, 80.
Okay, Clayton?
70.
Wow, I'm gonna say 74. Okay. Starfield.
Oh fuck. 75.
I'll be optimistic with a 90.
I'm just gonna be like random numbers. I'm gonna say 87. Final Fantasy 16.
8.
So 80.
80, yeah.
85.
Yeah, I'm gonna be optimistic and I'm gonna say 92.
Ooh.
Okay, Rebirth, Final Fantasy 7 Remake 2.
70. 65, 70. No, 70 at least.
Based on what you guys have said, I'll say 70.
70? All right. I'm going to go a little higher. I'm going to say 78. Spider-Man 2.
85.
I'll say 90.
I'm going to be right around there with you, Adam. I'm going to say 90. Diablo 4.
6.5.
65.
I'll give it an 80.
I'm going to go 74. Zelda.
93.
Yeah, I was going to say 95.
Yeah, it's going to be up
there. I'm right up there. I'm going to say 94. And the one, this is more of a DLC, but the one game that will probably be overshadowed by Zelda, provided it doesn't release within 2 days, the Horizon DLC.
Was that Burning Skies?
Burning Shores.
Is that Burning Shores? Is that the DLC or is that the VR?
No, DLC. We're gonna do the VR as well, but we'll do the Horizon DLC first.
And again, I think most people are in agreement that that's what happened with Horizon last time was great game overshadowed by.
Well, look at Horizon with Elden Ring. Like, are you stupid?
Why would you do that?
Well, but see, Skull and Bones almost did it. They were going to release the same day as God of War.
Skull and Bones, that Ubisoft pirate book game? I didn't even think that was out. Is that out now?
It's coming out next year. They delayed it because of technical issues, but really you're going to go up against God of War.
Even though it's been in development for like 5 or 6 years and it's a friggin' boat game.
I'm going to say 82 for Horizon Burning Shores.
Yeah, I'll say...
Let's see. 80.
80, Adam?
Yeah.
Okay.
Same.
80. Okay. And then lastly, Call of the Mountain.
That's the
VR, the Horizon VR.
I'm going to give... I'll say a 90 on that. I'm optimistic that it's going to go well.
If
that's a launch, if that's going to be one of the launch ones for the new VR, I think it'll get very well received. That's my guess.
Something tells me
Clayton's around a 40.
No, something tells me though that it's going to be a lot of flash and not a lot of substance, and it's people. And the big thing is going to be it's beautiful, but it's too short. I think it's going to be a 70.
70. Yeah, I'm gonna be around the middle. I'm gonna say 78. All right. Well, those are some good titles to start.
It'll There's be nothing... interesting to come back and see this list in a year from now. And
that's why I wrote everything down. So I hope I just don't lose this book.
It'll be fun. I think like it'll be fun to do an episode where we come back and look and we're like, oh no way, Redfall 100.
Redfall game of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I really missed the boat on that one.
Zelda like releases as a broken game.
Yeah.
But all right, I think we'll wrap there. We got quite a lot of stuff talked about. Did anybody have anything that they wanted to add before we sign out?
No, I think pretty good. I'm looking forward to that new Kirby Dreamland one. My son, my youngest, and I played the heck out of Kirby Star Allies. Looks like they're taking basically the same framing of that and adding on an older title, basically reskinning it to this modern platform where you can play four players a side and basically have four Kirbys going around. And I'm really looking forward to that because, like I said, we played Star Allies like crazy, so that's one of the hidden gems I'm looking forward to.
I'm just looking forward to 2023 in general. I feel like a lot of the offerings that we got suffered like their development suffered for the last 2 years under the restrictions of COVID, and I feel like a lot of really good ideas probably got squelched or put on hold because of that, because really only the realistically the biggest and the best could get through, but a lot of smaller stuff didn't happen because people just couldn't afford to make it or something. A lot of ideas have probably had a long time to germinate, and that now that we're fully out of the pandemic and everything's starting to come around to normal again, we'll see those ideas start to get implemented. And especially like going towards the end of the year, something tells me we're just going to have a lot of really good games to play, or there's going to be they've already confirmed a bunch of them for 2023. Like February 2023 is going to be fucking nuts. Like it's because all the games that are coming out in February, it's like everything is coming out in fucking February. And by the end of the year there, we'll either have a lot of new good games in hand, and by the time the next Game Awards runs like comes around, we'll have a lot more new titles coming out. Because realistically, like if you look back at the other Game Award shows versus this one didn't feel like there was as much on offer. You know what I mean?
I think they had to cut a lot short because Christopher Judge's speech was like 25 minutes long.
It was like a 9-minute long speech, one word every 15 seconds.
When it wrapped and Jeff Keighley said, "Wow, I think he's really pushing giving away the free Steam Decks there." I was dying. I thought that was such a good line to come out of that.
Yeah.
Did anybody win a Steam Deck?
Not here.
I didn't, so. Oh, I want. I wanted to see Bill Clinton win that award, though. That
would. I was happy that Bill Clinton won that award, man. Like, yeah. And now you, now Bill Clinton.
Somebody
infamy.
Somebody made a Bill Clinton mod for Elden Ring. Eh? Saw you it. Run it's around hilarious. As Bill Clinton. It's fucking awesome.
Why?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I know Clayton and I will be back at some point. Adam, we'd love to get you back on.
Appreciate that.
And I'll know more about the next guest, fingers crossed, just after Christmas. I don't want to be like, I don't want to message the guy and be like, hey, it's after Christmas. Can we take you up on that offer? I'll probably wait until the beginning of the new year after, you know, everyone's settled down and getting back into the routine. I know I asked Clayton if he wouldn't mind working on an art piece, and I hope that everything ends up working out, that he can show it. But Adam, what I will say is, basically, do you remember those 80s pictures where, like, you had the family of the wife and kids looking up and there was the picture of the dad? Yeah. I want Clayton to do something similar to that, but like Wild West.
Oh yeah, that'd be fantastic.
With the voice actor and the character kind of like 100%. Fading in. That 100%. Would, I don't think he, I've seen his wall when he does a lot of his chats, and I don't think he has anything like that. And he's also never had Canadian candy and chips before, so we can probably get a little gift basket together of like Canada only stuff. I won't send Kinder surprises because it's easier to buy a gun in the States than it is to get a Kinder surprise.
Yeah, that's so weird, eh?
But for now, it's funny because last year we said we wouldn't do another episode for Christmas, and then we ended up doing one, I think, like a day before Christmas.
We all found time, yeah.
But if we don't talk to each other or whatever, I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Happy New Year. I know that we'll be talking off and be like, oh yeah, I got this, and this is what I got. And I look forward to seeing some of your pickup videos. Adam, where can people find you?
You can find me youtube.com/SvennyMcG, SvennyMcG. SvennyMcG on all major social media platforms as well, but mostly I'll be on YouTube talking video games.
Clayton, where can people find your art? Because I know that's what you do.
Pretty much just exclusive to Instagram now. So the underscore iron underscore hobo. And I'm trying to post more. The algorithm tells me that I should be putting up more art to get it into the hands of more people. But I mean, it takes time. So, you know, be patient. I see my numbers regularly go up and then come back down and then go up and come back down. So you can tell I'll release something and the numbers will go up. And then after a week or so, they'll start coming back down again and they start going up. And
it's usually how it goes.
Yeah.
But okay. Pressure to produce. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll wrap there. Take care, guys. And we'll be in touch.
You betcha. Thanks, everyone. See you guys later.
See ya.